Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Today, I want to pose a question by asking, how liquid are you? When you think of liquidity in terms of finance, what that means is you have cash, and that cash is flowing. And more importantly, you have no debt. Now, the second word I want to bring up is, how illiquid are you? That means you have no cash, you have no cash flow, but you may have no debt. But the thing I want to talk about today is the word, how illiquid are you? In other words, you have no cash, you have no flow, but you are in debt. And that's something that we need to take stock of. The Bible's richest man, named Solomon, has an amazing declaration worthy of taking note at the beginning of this message. He said in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied." Two times he talks about the word never. The first one is never has enough. When you love money, it's never enough. But then he further says, whoever loves wealth is never satisfied. Two words that depict never. But I want to point out to you that while that is true for people who love money, this word is a double-edged sword, which applies not just to people who love money, but for all of us. Now, we may not love money, but the truth of the matter is all of us know that money is never enough and money is never satisfied. Think about the reality of those two words for all of us. Whether you love money or don't love money, we all need money and cannot live without it. Fact of the matter is, the reason why there's never enough money or we're never satisfied is because of a lot of factors, one of which is market forces. Think analog to digital. If you were producing something that was analog in the digital world, market forces dictate that you probably will be out of business. From fueled cars to electric cars to stock market crashes, economic reversals from economic depression, stock market crashes, and pandemics and unforeseen events. What do we do when we realize that these are realities? Now, the book of Proverbs tells us, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Notice where it says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." Why is the Bible admonishing this? The answer is found in the next verse. It says, "Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." In short, it is dangerous to have too much and to have too little. The key, therefore, is it's dangerous because I may have too much and disown you, which makes you think that you don't need God. And as you know, that is a very dangerous position. But the second part is, so I may become poor and steal and so dishonor your name. It makes it easy for us to dishonor God when we don't have enough money. Thus, we have to go to God and ask, given the reality that it's never enough and never satisfying, and the market force that we foresee, and the economic reversals and unforeseen events, what do we ask God? Well, the richest man in the Bible says he asked for God's wisdom. Which brings me to my first point in this message. Wisdom with wealth is stewardship. The beginning part, if you want to have wisdom, particularly for wealth, is all about stewardship. And stewardship starts with the production of wealth. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8:18, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Take note, remember the Lord your God. That doesn't mean put a string on your finger or bend your pen. It means to remember God starts with trusting Him. Proverbs 28:25 says, "Those who trust in the Lord will prosper." More than just remembering God, meaning trusting Him, it also means obeying Him. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "For I command you today to walk in obedience to Him." There it is. "As you obey Him, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Remembering the Lord is trusting Him, obeying Him, and finally, to be faithful to Him. It says in Proverbs 28:20, "A faithful person will be richly blessed." When we understand that the beginning of wisdom, particularly for applies to wealth, is stewarding starts with production. But stewardship moves forward in followed by savings. When you have production, the wise way to go about it is what you've ever produced, you need to follow that with savings. Proverbs 13 verse 11 says, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." Watch that. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. A verse that is similar to this is found in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise." Wisdom. And it says, "The ant has no commander or overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." There it's that word, stores its provisions. When we learn how to save money, after we produced money, we will get the wisdom of God in reference to our finances. A simple equation to live by is earnings should be greater than our expenses. A wrong way to live by is when our expenses are greater than our earnings. Earnings greater than our expenses is the way to go and not the other way around. I often, and this is a very simple thing that I learned early on in life, is a savings box. A savings box is something that you live with, that means a sign that you live within your means. Simple formula. The truth of the matter is, if you cannot live within your means with a small amount of money, you probably still can't live within your means with a large amount of money. The secret is to live within your means and what you can afford. Secondly, fill it and don't touch it. When you want to save money, the way to go is get a box, fill it with money, and don't touch it. And you can be sure that weeks, days, and months go by, and there will be money inside that box. Thirdly, increase your income, but don't increase your expenses. These are four simple tips when it comes to stewarding, which means savings. Finally, an important thing to understand about wisdom and wealth is stewardship. Stewardship starts with production. Stewardship is followed by savings. But finally, stewardship is rewarded by God. Last week, I talked to you about the parable of the talents. Towards the end of that parable, Jesus explains what the master said to the servants. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Notice what happens when you are stewarding right. There's an affirmation that comes from God. God desires to affirm us when he sees us stewarding our finances well. Further, it says in the second half, "You have been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things." That is not just an affirmation, that is a promotion. The way God moves in terms of our stewardship when we produce and save properly, he not only affirms us, but he promotes us. And finally, he says, "Come share in your master's happiness." In short, God actually wants to have a celebration with you. He affirms you, he confirms you, he promotes you, and finally, he celebrates with you. Point number one is wisdom with wealth is stewardship. Stewardship starts with production, it's followed by savings, and it's something that God rewards. My second point today is actually wisdom avoids debts. When you understand wealth, one of the things about wisdom is that it's about stewardship. But the second part of that is to avoid debt. If you find yourself in the debt rut, no amount of savings and earnings will make you become prosperous and successful with your finances. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." When we become the borrower instead of the lender, we become the slave. And there are three ways by which debt makes us a slave. The first one that happens is we have undue pressure in life. And I'm a veteran, by the way, of debt. As a young man, I didn't understand these things that I'm teaching you today. And there was always undue pressure when collectors would call and people would look for me and say, "Where's that thing that I loaned you? Or where's that money that I need from you?" Undue pressure is the cause of when we incur debt. Secondly, loss of peace. When you have undue pressure, you will lose the peace that you should be enjoying because you feel like someone's chasing after you. And finally, it will end in discouragement. The loss of confidence, the loss of enthusiasm, which really is what slavery looks like. And that's why the Bible admonishes us, wisdom avoids debt. Now, while I say that, I want to put a caveat by saying there is such a thing as good and bad debt. We cannot just avoid debt and say we're not going to ever borrow money. I want to make sure that you understand that there is also such a thing as good and bad debt. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6 says, "For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and he will lend to many, and you will lend to many nations, but borrow from none." Our destiny is that we're to be lenders, not borrowers. In fact, this verse spoken to the Jews early on from the beginning of their nation is the reason why the Jews were the founders of banks and the lenders, and that's why they became very wealthy. When you understand this simple principle that you were destined by God not to borrow but to lend, you operate by a different principle. Simple principle to live by when it comes to debt is some good debts are to create lasting values. When you borrow money but it's creating lasting values, then that is good debt. Now, there are such things as bad debts and they do not create lasting value. Let me give you an example of some bad debts that you don't want to incur. For example, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy a car or you shouldn't even borrow money for a car, but if you're borrowing money for a car that you can don't really will increase your productivity, it's probably not a good idea to buy it. You're probably better off buying a secondhand car. Sometimes we think that a wedding dress and our image, our wedding event, our travel, these things do not accumulate in value. As such, do not get into debt for these things. Some people are fooled by the idea that this gives me an image of somebody that can lead me to a deal. But the reality is, when you cannot pay these debts, your image will be gone because everybody will realize it is only an image. Good debts and bad debts. Bad debts are those that do not create lasting value. Good debts are those that create lasting value. For instance, if you get into debt for education, that's not completely a bad debt. If you measure that correctly with the proper counsel from the right people, it's probably a good thing to do that. Real estate is another example. And finally, even a business that you want to start. The point is this: wisdom avoids debt, but there is such a thing as good and bad debt. The second thing I want to point out is there are two usual ways you get into debt, and this is the way you avoid them. Number one is, how do we get to debt? The first one is self-induced debt. The second one is bad circumstances. The second one is something we can't completely deal with, but the self-induced part is the one I want to talk about right now. In the Bible, there's a story of two brothers. The first one was named Jacob, and the second one was named Esau. Esau arrived in his home and found his brother cooking some stew. Esau came in from the open country and was famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Notice the word quick. When you're in a hurry, many times when we're in a hurry to get the thing or lusting after the thing that we shouldn't have yet, that's when we end up with the pressure of going into debt. Notice what it says in verse 31 and 32. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die." Esau said, "What good is my birthright?" Notice what it says. "First, give me your birthright." The thing to point out here is when you're getting into debt, keep in mind that whoever is selling to you, whether it's a store, an online thing, other people what's valuable to you. And that's the story here. We end up in debt because we fail to realize that whoever is offering us something wants to get something valuable from us. Further, it says, "Look, I'm about to die." In other words, this point is delay your gratification. Many times we end up in debt because rather than delaying our gratification, we want the thing right now. And finally, "What good is my birthright?" In other words, a trade-off lacking in character. Esau ended up giving up one of the most important things that he has in his life, the thing that no one else has, that the only one who has it is himself, and ended up giving it away. In verse 33, it says, "But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore on oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob." A sad part of the story is we end up making a pledge and we're stuck with monthly payments, incurring interest paying, and showing up in our bills that puts us more pressure and enslaves us. Finally, in verse 34, it says, "Then Jacob gave Esau the bread and some of the lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left." And in that final verse, it says, "So Esau despised his birthright." When we are poor stewards of the thing that God gives us, do not ever despise what God has given you. In this story, Esau ends up going to his father and asking for his birthright back after Jacob had deceived Isaac. The funny part was, Isaac could not give it to him anymore. I used to wonder, how can he not give it to him when it's a simple matter of giving him the blessing? But when you really think about it, it wasn't Isaac who was not returning the birthright. It was God. Because when we despise the things that God entrusts to us and rather incur debt rather than being grateful and happy with the thing that God has entrusted to us, God will not give this back to us. And so there is such a thing as self-induced and bad circumstances. Bad circumstances are real. Economic depression, market forces, reversals, unforeseen events. These are going to happen. Pandemics, like what we have right now. But bad circumstances are some things that you and I cannot control. And that's why you want to control the part that you can control, your self-induced debt. By doing that, by the way, in 64 years of living on this earth, there will be bad circumstances. There will be moments, I'm not sitting here telling you I've never been in debt. I've found reversals. I've found economic downturns. I've found bad situations, accidents. I've found times when I had to come up with money for hospital bills. There will be bad circumstances. The point is, reduce the self-induced debt. What do I do if I'm already in the hole? What am I going to do? Well, I'll give you one simple lesson I learned when I was in the hole of debt. And that is, wisdom avoids debt. There's good and bad debt. There's usually two ways I get into debt. But here's how I get out. Prioritize paying your debts. In other words, stop spending. If you have an old shoe, keep the shoe and stop spending more. And take the Nike principle of paying your debt by just doing it. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 27 says, "Why would you withhold payment on your debt when you have the ability to pay? Just do it," right? In other words, prioritize paying your debt. I remember when there was a downturn in my nation and the economy tanked and a lot of people lost their values, I lost my values and ended up in massive debt. I started to train my muscles to pay. I stopped eating in restaurants, stopped watching movies, stopped buying new clothes, and started learning this muscle of taking advantage and just doing it. After that time when I paid off that debt, the muscles of learning how to get out of debt and stay out of debt became stronger. So don't worry if you're feeling like I'm in debt right now. Just do it. Prioritize getting out of debt. Let me summarize. Wisdom avoids debt. There is good and bad debt. And there's two usual ways we get into debt. And finally, if we find ourselves in a hole, prioritize paying your debt. My third and final point for you today is wisdom to defeat debt. There's wisdom that you can use to be able to defeat getting to debt. The first one is God's wisdom. God's word is peppered and full of ideas and principles that will keep you out of debt. First and foremost is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. When you stop comparing yourself with others, when you become content with the thing that God entrusted to you, which is what Esau should have done, you don't have to fall into debt. And you don't have to worry about getting yourself into enslavement and pressure. Secondly, it says, "For we brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it." Fact of the matter is, we didn't bring anything into the world. We need to understand and appreciate and enjoy what you have. Rather than worry about what you don't have, take the thing that God gave you in this world that you brought nothing here. And now that what you have, appreciate it, be grateful, and enjoy it. Finally, it says, "But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." In short, make it a practice daily. Every time you see your food and every time you see your clothing, be grateful and be content with that. That doesn't mean you're going to settle for just that. What that means is on a day-to-day basis, you can have peace with yourself because you find contentment. It says in verse 9, "Those who want to get rich fall into a trap, into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." And that's what you don't want to be in, not that hole. So in reference, wisdom to defeat debt starts with God's wisdom. It graduates into practical wisdom. I remember the day when I read a book entitled Financial Peace by Dave Ramsey. My wife and I were always at odds. Money was never enough. It was very hard to make things fit until I finally read this book and the manual that came with it entitled The Financial Peace Planner. It changed our lives. I credit the author, whose name is Dave Ramsey, and his books, The Total Money Makeover. when you read this book, there's practical wisdom that this man shares that allowed us to not just get out of debt, but stay out of debt and actually gain traction in our finances. Dave has a talk show, a podcast that might, in fact, if you go to our house, there's not a week where my wife and I, to this day, there's not a week where we don't listen to Dave Ramsey, because there's practical wisdom that we can learn from people. I'm recommending him, and you can find others. The point in saying that is this: wisdom to defeat debt comes from God's wisdom. It also comes from practical wisdom. And finally, pray for wisdom. Our finances rise and fall to the passing of time and seasons. Whether we like it or not, there are no guarantees, whether you read your Bible and whatever you do, that our money will always be there. There are things that happen that we didn't expect. The pandemic, bankruptcies, situations, market trends, we do not have control over these. These are caused by people, and people have free will. The point in saying that is pray for your finances. Your finances are not just to pray for more, but for God to give you wisdom what to do with your finances. Just as it is that you pray for your spiritual life, you pray for your relational life, and you pray for your physical life, pray for your financial life. Obviously, in the hierarchy of structures of value, your spiritual life is more valuable, as I explained to you last month. Your relational life is obviously more valuable than money, and your physical life is more valuable than money. But make no mistake about it, you need money. And to God, your money matters. When you understand that and you come to God and pray for your finances, God will teach you and give you the wisdom how to manage those finances. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. To be confident of this is to go to God in prayer and to believe that God will show his goodness to you in the land of the living. And in the land of the living, you will need money. Further, it says in verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord, pray to him, seek his wisdom in reference and pertaining to your finances. Wisdom to defeat debt comes from God's wisdom, practical wisdom, and to pray for his wisdom. Let me summarize. Pray that God will show you that wisdom with wealth is stewardship, how to produce it, how to save it, and how to be and to understand that God rewards you when you do this. Wisdom, pray for wisdom that to avoid debt, that there is good and bad debt, that there are usually two ways to fall into debt. One is self-induced, and the other one is just bad circumstances. Prioritize paying your debts. And finally, God's word and his wisdom is the source of wisdom to defeat debt. Practical wisdom from those who have gone ahead of us. And finally, pray for wisdom with your finances. As I close this message, I want us to proclaim Jesus. Get a piece of bread and a cup and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, even as we acknowledge that everything we have is yours, it is our desire to be wise stewards of what you have entrusted to us. May we trust, obey, and be faithful to you, whom we acknowledge is the one who gives us the ability to produce wealth. Give us wisdom to avoid debt, to discern between good and bad debt, and to avoid self-induced debt. Should we find ourselves in bad circumstances with existing debts, grant us the ability to prioritize its settlement. We embrace your wisdom of godly contentment. Lead us to the right sources of practical and even collective wisdom for our finances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.